At the beginning of every day, you wake up and you have $1,440 more in your bank account than you had before. And that money is there for you to spend that day. And if you don't spend it by the end of the day, it's taken away. And the next day, you have another $1,440 there. What would that lead you to do? And or what direction would your mind start going? If you had a certain amount of money, certain amount of value that was given you each day that wouldn't last. It's here for you to use now, but it's going to be taken away if you don't use it by the end of the day. We could assign different values. As we think about money, we think about using money wisely, and that's not a wise use of money or not a wise plan for money. And yet there are some things in life that are like that. And we might say that it's more like $86,400 that's in your bank account each morning. And by the end of the day, if you don't use it, it's gone. What would you use it for? And you could use it for yourself. You could use it for others. You can use it, you can waste it, or you can use it to get something that's worthwhile. Those numbers, I don't know if you've, there's 1,440 minutes in a day, and there's 86,400 seconds in a day, and there's a very real sense that every morning when we wake up, we have that amount of time that day, and when the day is over, it's gone. And how we've used it is the question. How we've spent that time, talk about spending money, we compare time to money, but how we've spent that time is what we're going to talk about this morning. Of course, the biggest thing that's changed from 12 months ago to now is time. There's lots of things that have happened in that amount of time. But the reason you can't remember what I preached about 12 months ago is because a lot of time has expired since then. And I'm not planning to say anything the same as I said then that I know of. Probably look at some of the same verses, a few of the same verses, but I'm going to hit some different aspects of it. So we want to think about time. Subject, I would say, is spending time. And first I want to look at several different aspects of understanding time, several different facts or understandings that we have of time. And then we want to look a little bit about our time and our priorities, how we correspond our time with our priorities. First of all, thinking a little bit in general way about time, our mind goes, first of all, to Psalm 24, verse 1. I'll have you turn to a number of verses, but you don't need to turn to this one. Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We know that all things come from God. We could go back and look at the way the first day was created, the way time, and you could study all how time came into existence, or how man first understood and recognized time, first by watching when the moon phases changed and all those things that God had set up originally in creation. God set up time there in creation. So, He's the author of time. He's created us. But that brings us to the fundamental question, whose time do you have to spend? When you wake up in the morning, whose time is it that you have that day? In many ways, we take for granted that the time is ours and that we can decide what we're going to do with it. But really, when you get down to it, our lives are God's. And the time that He's given us and allowed us to be here is because of what He's done. And so in a very real sense, we need to look at each hour and each minute as God's time. God's time that He's lent to us. another verse in relation to this. Be 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. And again, I'll just read it. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's a real sense in which the time we have is God's, and the time... Okay, it says there that now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for us to realize God's claim on our life and to yield our life to Him and to live our lives for Him. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that God has saved us and that we can serve Him. Now is that time. Today. This minute. This hour. And yeah, I just want to start with that we... So many times we become confused, or we tend to forget that our things, and specifically this morning our time, is all God's. It's given to us by God, and really He has first claim to it. Our time is God's. Second thing would be, God sees and cares what I do with my time. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll look some more at this a little bit later. But the... Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. God sees and cares what I do with my time. There is importance put on our time. It's important that we consider our time, that we walk circumspectly, that we have our eyes open and are looking around us and understanding what's happening. Why? Because the days are evil around us, and therefore it's implying that it's important that we do the right things. We do the right things with our time, that we use our time wisely. Not as fools, but as wise. Our time can be spent either direction. It can be spent foolishly or it can be spent wisely. We'll look a little bit more later on at how this chapter explains a little bit what are some wise uses for our time and things that we need to consider in relation to that. But God cares about our time. There is a wise and a foolish use of time, and God is observing what we're doing with our time. Colossians 4 and 5 uses similar wording. As far as redeeming the time, it says, Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, Ephesians, there where we were, goes on and talks a little bit about family relations and some of our close relations. Colossians says, Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, those that are unbelievers, I would understand that to be, toward those that are need Christ. Walk in wisdom toward them, making wise use of your time, redeeming your time. So that's another thing that it's important that we're careful to use our time wisely in. Again, it's important that we consider and use our time wisely. And of course, Psalm 90 verse 12, So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to consider how we're spending our time, that we can use it wisely, that we don't waste it foolishly. All right, third thing, and this is more just general truth or general fact, and yet sometimes we fool ourselves in relation to it. Third thing is everyone has the same amount of time. God has given everyone the same amount of hours in a day. And we know that very well. But where it faces us is, we face the question of how wisely will I use it? How wisely will I use my time? Will I waste my time or make the most of it? No one has more time than anyone else. We have more time as in lifespan, but in a day's time or in a week's time, we all have the same amount. And we each face, every one of you faces the choice of what you're going to do with today, with this hour. We each face that choice and have to make the decision about it. So that's the main idea of this, of the third point here. Everyone has the same amount of time, is that we each face that question. None of us is exempt from it. The fourth thing is that time passes quickly. And I'll just mention a number of verses here. We know that time passes quickly. As you go through life, you find out what that means. And Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Years roll past, and time changes. Our lives change. And the sooner we can focus on what's important, the less we get wrapped up in other things, the easier it's going to be for us to stay focused on what's most important. It's an encouragement for the youth to consider their time and to use their time wisely, because it's not as easy to change later on in life. It's not as easy to refocus as you get older. It's easiest to start when you're young and consider your time and use it wisely. I'll read several other verses in relation to that. 1 Chronicles 29:15, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Job has a number of references to that, especially in his tribulation. He realized how fleeting his life was and how little the things that had seemed so important really mattered. Job 8:9, "For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow." Our days upon earth are a shadow. And a shadow, we know how fleeting that is, how it's real at the minute, but it changes by the next minute. It changes by the next hour. By a couple hours later, it's totally gone. And it's just in your imagination, in your memory. There's nothing substantial to it as time goes on. Job 14:2, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Again, the idea of a shadow. My days, in Psalm 102, verse 11, "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and am withered like grass." Grass, of course, now is not what it used to be. It declines. It goes away. It fades. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" And that's the question. Time passes so quickly, and none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us knows what's going to happen in the future. Who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? It changes so quickly. It uses the term shadow. Our time flies so quickly. Next thing I have down is, we have no promise of tomorrow. We aren't promised a certain amount of time. And the Bible reminds us of that numerous times. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. There's two verses there I want to pull out. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not that what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And, well, let's just read the rest. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The message is that we can't promise, we daresn't count on the future. We daresn't count and make big promises about tomorrow because we have no control of it. And verses 16 and 17 there seem to bring out the thought that we need to do good with what we have. We need to use our day wisely today because of that, because we can't make a promise of tomorrow. Be careful that we use today wisely. Be careful we do what should be done today, and get it done. Several other verses. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We know that. We don't have any idea what a day can bring forth. Isaiah, when we get up in the morning. Isaiah 56, 12. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Seems to be speaking of revelers or those that are enjoying their wine and their parties or whatever. But they're saying, we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow is going to be like today, except it'll be better. It's going to be even better yet. It'll be even more. Optimistic. It's getting better. And it's calling that a fool, pointing that out as foolish thinking that we do not know. Tomorrow shall be this day and much more abundant. Or Amos 6 verse 3 says, ye that put away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Those that say, it's not going to get bad. The trouble's going to hold off. Trouble's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be okay. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. The Bible just has a lot of verses in relation to this. We have no promise of tomorrow. Luke 12:19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Speaking of the rich fool there. He thought he was well supplied for many years, but he didn't know that his soul would be required that night. And we could list a lot more. Job 9:25. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. Job 14:2. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. I believe we had looked at that one before. Psalm 39 verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Stop and think about it. As we get older, we realize how short our lives are. But from God's perspective, man's days are like a handbreadth. They're so short. His best state is altogether vanity. And yet, it's important that what we do with our time. Isaiah 38:12, mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Alluding there to a number of things that in their day, I'm assuming, were very short-lived. The shepherd's tent, the The way a weaver would cut off the string or the cloth, and our days will be like that. They come to an end. They come to an end. They'll be cut off just the same. In Psalm 90, verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Some way God's perspective of time is so much different than ours. And 1,000 years to Him comes and goes as a short time, as a night, as a watch in the night. I don't know if you ever spent much time watching. The watch in the night would be a soldier staying up and for a period of time watching to make sure that no enemy approaches or that nothing goes wrong. Watch in the night. If you've ever done anything like that, you know how long it seems while you're in the middle of it. It just seems like the night's never going to end. You're just sitting there and nothing's happening, and the night goes on and on. And yet, when it's past, we know how short it was. The night's over, the daytime comes, and the night is forgotten. It's kind of like that for us. We're in the middle of that watch, and it can seem like a long time, but it flies so fast, and it's soon gone, soon past. Now, the last observation about time are that our priorities determine how we use our time. Our priorities determine how we use our time. And I guess I would just like you to think about a jar. If you have a jar and you have some stones that you're trying to put in there, you're trying to fit important things into your life, into the jar, you need to put the big ones in first, the important ones in first, and then the smaller ones can go in around. And you've probably seen the example already where you have a jar, you put in some stones, and you can ask if it's full, then you can put in smaller stones, and it looks like it's full again, then you can put in sand, looks like it's full again, then you can put in water, and fill it up full, and at that point it is full. But you know how futile it would be to fill it up with the sand or with the small stones, and then try to fit the big things in, to fit the big stone in. It would be impossible. And so many times that's the way we try to do with our lives. Our lives get filled up with all the small things, all the unimportant things, and then we get to the end of the day and we realize we missed an important thing. We missed something that we really wanted to do, and there's no room for it. There's no chance of putting it in. Our priorities determine how we use our time. We need to, we do the things that are important to us. Our priorities determine the way we spend our time. If we're not spending time doing the things that are important to us, we have a problem. And maybe the things aren't as important to us as we think, or else we're not managing them carefully. We're not handling them the way we should. And we could think of one example of that would be the Sunday, a day of rest. If we would not designate that and plan and have in our minds that we're going to set that day aside for God, you can imagine with your busy schedule, you get to the end of the week, if there would be time for a day of rest, a time for a day to worship God, time for a day to spend time with Him and rest. But we understand the Bible teaches us to have that as the first day. We set that aside as the first day, and we work the rest of our week around that. And that way it happens. That way that day takes place. And we do what we consider to be important, what we consider to be a priority. It happens in our lives. And we need to do that with many other things. God wants our time to reflect the priorities He has given us. And really, we need our time to reflect the priorities that God has on our life, priorities that God wants us to do. All right, and that leads us to our second part of the message, our time and our priorities. And let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And again, this is kind of basics, and yet it's the basics that we need to make happen in our life, that we need to make real, and we need to live out from day to day. And we spend our lives figuring out how to make that happen and to demonstrate that, to make that real. But it's the thing that we need to be working at. Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. And Jesus was here, and He had different Pharisees coming to Him and trying Him out, or different Sadducees and Pharisees, different leaders were coming to Him and trying to trap Him, trying to get Him to say the wrong thing. Verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that He had answered them well, asked Him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And when we think of that, we think of the Ten Commandments. But from their perspective, they had hundreds of commandments. They had entire books written, and they had that many commandments that they couldn't keep them all. There was no way that they could actually fulfill all the law, as I understand it. Maybe there was a few that were able to keep them all, but basically there was so many commandments that it was impossible to keep them all. And so they had to start prioritizing them. Which ones were most important? Do they wash their food a certain way? Do they follow this or that? Which commandments were really important? It seems like maybe they had actually lost sight of the Ten Commandments, of what God had first put in place. Which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He starts alluding to all the different things that they were, all the different laws and sacrifices and things that they were considering. But he realized that those were most important. Jesus boiled down all the commandments into two important commands. Thou shalt love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's important that we prioritize our time according to that. And speaking about loving God, I think we have a subject coming up on that in the Sunday evening, and I look forward to that, because there's a lot of different aspects that reaches into all of our life to love God with our whole heart. What does that truly mean? In relation to some of our other examples that we understand, I love my wife most of all, as a person, but that doesn't mean that I'm at home all the time. There's other things that I need to do. But how do I show my love to my wife? Well, one way is, and probably one of the most important ways, is that they have a claim on your life, or if there's an interruption, they get priority. And there's many other things that I do, but if my wife calls, she can tell how much what I think of her by how quickly I drop the other things and address the concern or the question that she has. And I think God, in a similar way, expects us and has many things that we need to take care of, many things that we need, He has given us to do here. But the question is, what kind of priority does God have in your life? When He calls, how quickly do you answer? When He calls, do you even hear Him? And when He calls, do you drop what you're doing and take care of that? Or are you too busy doing your own thing? Are you too busy taking care of your own interests and those kind of things that He really doesn't get attention? Who gets the first attention in the day? There's numerous ways that we can show and live out love to God. And it shows, even though we're not focused entirely on His Word and in prayer all day long, directly, we're doing other things. In our mind, we're praying. We're being in a state of prayer. But we need to do other things. But our other actions need to show that God has priority in our life. And I think one of the big things there is when He speaks to us, when He calls, and there's lots of different applications we could have there. Well, I'll let you think about that. God takes first place in our lives. He needs to. We place God first by loving God with all our being, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that means that our actions are going to show it. Our thoughts are going to show it. Our communication is going to show it. People are going to be able to tell that we love God. Is He a priority in your life? And going back to the illustration of the jar and what's important, do we put the things, the God-centered things in first? Or are they the first things that we make sure we get done? And that's a challenge for me. What should be in there? Our devotions each day, our time with God, taking care of our relationship with Him. When He speaks to us to share the gospel with someone else or put in a word for Him somewhere, is that a high priority item or is it something that we don't hardly hear? We hardly hear His Spirit speaking to us. Is He one we're tuned to and we're listening to and we're paying attention to? Realistically, okay, one further challenge in relation to that to think about is if we say that we love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, what percentage of your time in a day is actually spent working for Him or serving Him or directly in His work? And all of our work is done for Him or can be done for Him. And so in a sense, most or nearly all of your day needs to be spent for Him. And yet how much, if we say that God is most important to us and He's the one we love and serve with all our heart, and we really don't spend any practical amount of time directly communicating with Him. How does that hold out? How does that work? How much time, what percentage of the time of your day do you spend directly with God? And what percentage of your time in a day do you spend serving Him? Thinking of our time, realistically, this lists the second commandment as serving, as loving others as ourselves. In our day, the idea of loving ourselves gets emphasized, overemphasized. There is a certain amount, realistically, that we need to take care of ourselves, and I believe God expects us to take care of our health, to spend time sleeping, to spend time feeding ourselves normally. Maybe sometimes when you're involved in God's work that you don't eat. But normally we need to God wants us to maintain our health. God wants us to use our time wisely reading, especially children as they grow up. I'm blessed with the amount of books we have, and it's a good thing to spend your time doing. Reading good books and filling your mind with good things like that. So there are, in practical life, we spend a lot of our time taking care of our own basic needs. And that's right and proper. Beyond that then, okay. Okay, beyond that then, we think about others. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We had been there earlier, but I want to just notice we won't actually read much of it, but we want to notice the layout of the chapter there. Ephesians chapter 5. And we were looking at okay. The earlier part of the chapter talks about redeeming the time. Using our time wisely, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, edifying yourself, giving thanks. Then it goes into relationships. And I think that gives us direction. Okay, it's telling us to use our time wisely, to not waste our time. And then it goes on and says that we're supposed to submit ourselves, husbands and wives are supposed to submit themselves to each other. And then it talks about, in the next chapter, then it spends the rest of the chapter talking about husband-wife relationships. Chapter 6 starts talking about children. Obey your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. And parents, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And then verse 5, it goes into the subject of servants. Your work relationships. And in many ways, I think those are somewhat of our priorities. Our priorities would be, first of all, our family relations, husbands and wives. Get highest priority. That's normal and right. And our children follow that. Our family relations, as in parents to children. We focus a lot of time and attention on that. And then beyond that, our work. And sometimes maybe it's easy to get that mixed up a bit. Have our work first or higher priority than those that we love more dearly. And we think they understand. We think they understand that we love them and have their interest in mind. And yet we need to keep work in its place. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for me. Thinking about how we spend our time. Several thoughts in conclusion. Psalm 95, verse 7. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And it goes on. But the question, the thought is, today, hear His voice. Many people want to push it off. tomorrow, next day when I get older, when I'm middle-aged, when I'm old, I'll pay attention to Him. No. Our time is today. Today, if ye will hear His voice. Let's use each day and each minute wisely. Think about it this week. Pay attention to how much time you actually spend with those that have priority in your life. How do you spend your time? I'd just like to give that as a challenge for you to think about as you go through this week. How much time do you pay attention to how much time you spend on things other than your priorities and your work? In other words, how much time do you spend on your leisure, on what we consider leisure time? How much time do we spend just strictly on ourselves? It's not really that important. How much leisure time should we have? How much, and we know it's important to rest, like I was saying, and to relax. And yet, it's God's time. And are we using it wisely as He wants us to? Are we prioritizing the things that He wants us to do? If your time doesn't match your priorities, it's not something that you're going to change fast. It's not something that we can just decide, that most often it's not something that we decide, well, next week I'm going to not waste my time, not waste the several hours a day that I had been, and be doing it better this coming week. It's not often something you change overnight. Often it's something you work at. Make a goal. Decide to set a certain amount of time apart for doing what needs to be done, and it's a help that I came across, and I think that's the way it works, the way we need to do it. Make the things that you want to be a priority in your life, reflect them as a priority with how you spend your time. Are we spending our time the way we should and the way God wants us to? We are spending our time. It's a gift that we have available to us. Are we using it wisely? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, thankful again for your mercies to us today. We thank you for the gift of time that you have given us. We take it for granted. It's just a part of us from the time we're born, and we tend to assume many things about it. We tend to assume that it will continue as it is. We tend to assume that it's ours and that we can do with it what we want. Help us to realize your claim on our lives and on our time, and to use it wisely and to reflect the things that we know that we want to be priorities in our life and things that we know are important. Help us to use our time to do those things. The devil would have us, even though our intentions are right, he would distract us and waylay us and have us use our time for other things to the point that the good things get crushed out, get pushed out. Just pray you'd help us to use our time wisely as we come to the end of a year and think about another year. Think about the future ahead of us. Help us to listen to you today and to make each day and each minute count. Just be with each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.